Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome again to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries broadcast with Brother Norman Woodard. I am Brother Norman, and I'll be sharing an anointed and appointed word that will change, challenge, and charge your character to make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God and our Father in heaven. I'd like to send special thanks to Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, and they have a program which comes on every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the name of their program is Turn On the Light Broadcast. Turn On the Light Broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, which comes on every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And they're also the assistant pastors at Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where their leaders are Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, and their lead pastor is Bishop Kevin Jones. And they have services every Sunday morning, 9 a.m., with Sunday school, and 10 a.m., regular worship service. That's Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia. Well, I thank you once again for calling in. Hope you had a restful, peaceful night as you lay down and rested before the Lord. Amen. It's kind of, as we say in the South, nippy this morning. We made it to October. Amen. Glory to God. I love the fall season. They can keep that hot weather. I love the cold. I also like to be mindful of President Donald Trump and his wife. I mean, it was reported that they were positive for the COVID-19. So we want to remember them and send up prayers for them, their health, that everything turns out okay, amen. Though you may not agree with him or even like him, the Bible says that we must pray for our leaders, and because he is the leader of these United States of America, this what we call free world, we should always pray for him, that God surround him with the right people, that God gives him wisdom, that God strengthens him and encourages him to do the right thing before God and before us. So I just wanted to share that with you. Amen. Before we get into the word, we're going to hear a song to set the atmosphere.
So the song says, mountains are still being moved, strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe. Yes, we can see it, that wonders are still what you do. I love this when y'all listen. And bodies are still being raised. Woo! Giants are still being slain. God, we believe. Yes, we can see it. Wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Woo! We set our hearts on
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Doesn't that song just set the atmosphere? Hallelujah. Just want to dwell in his presence. Just lay before him. We need a move, God. Anybody need a move? America needs a move. This world needs a move. Wonders are still what you do, God. I believe it. Hallelujah. We are here for you. Come and do what you do, God. Only you can do what needs to be done, Father. Because miracles happen when you move. We need a move. Hallelujah. Well, thank you once again for calling in. We're going to get into the word, amen. Going to be coming out of the book of Romans. Romans, the first chapter, starting at 16. Romans, the first chapter, starting at the 16th verse. Then we're going to turn to 1 Timothy, the first chapter, and verse 17. Romans 1, starting at verse 16. And it reads, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Can anybody testify that today? This is Paul speaking. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." So that's the key. If you want to be saved, you have to believe the gospel of Christ. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Verse 17 says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven." I want us to listen to one word. We've already heard it twice. Let's go back to verse 17. It says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." That's the word I want us to pay attention to. The righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed." There's that word again. From heaven. Revealed from heaven. In verse 17, it says that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. So it takes faith in order to receive this revelation of the righteousness of God. It must be done by faith. And verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven." It only comes from heaven, "against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Who hold the truth. So there's no excuse. Everybody knows the truth. The Bible says that God has written the truth in our hearts. Verse 19 says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. I want to read that one again. For the invisible things of him, of God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen. It's saying that we can clearly see invisible things. How can that be? Being understood by the things that are made. Even the eternal power and Godhead, the deity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, so that they are without excuse. So I'm going to read verse 20 again. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, because being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now let's go to 1 Timothy, the first chapter, and we're going to read verse 17. 1 Timothy, first chapter, verse 17, and it reads, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. When I read this verse, I think about this song by Marvin Sapp. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the only wise God. Hallelujah. For you alone are God. You are God alone. Hallelujah. That's what I think about when I read that verse. I'm going to read it again. Now, unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The title of the message this morning is The Invisible Things of God. The invisible things of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for allowing us to come before you, to dwell in your presence, Father, to sit at your feet, to sit on your lap, God, to lay on your bosom, to hear your heartbeat, Father. Thank you, Father, for your presence. Thank you for visiting us, God. Now, Father, as we receive your word, help us to apply it to our lives, to make it personal, God, and to go out into this world and do what you called us to do. I decrease that you may increase, Father. None of me and all of you. Speak your words through my mouth, God. Think your thoughts through my mind. And use me for your glory. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The invisible things of God. This morning, my wife, Stephanie, she was getting ready to leave for work. She had to go to work this morning. And she asked, how's it coming? Because I was studying for the message. And I said, well, I mean, it's about to, you know, come together. The Lord only gave me one word yesterday. And she said, what is it? And I said, invisible. She said, invisible equals faith, the unseen. And I was like, yep, that's it. So I wrote that quote down. Invisible equals faith, the unseen. So we're going to talk about the word invisible this morning. Invisible. What is invisible? Incapable by nature of being seen. Incapable of nature. Incapable by nature of being seen. Meaning that we can't see it in the natural. We can't see it with our physical eyes. Another definition is inaccessible to view, hidden. Inaccessible to view is hidden. It's not saying that it's not there, but you can't see it because it's hidden. Another definition is imperceptible. Imperceptible means not perceptible by a sense or by the mind. So you can't feel it. You can't smell it. You can't hear it. You can't see it. You can't taste it. But you know that it's there. And neither can you figure it out intellectually. That's what invisible means. It means inconspicuous, not readily noticeable. I like that definition. Inconspicuous, not readily noticeable. So it's there, but it's not ready to be noticed yet. So those are some of the definition of the word invisible. Let's go to Colossians, the first chapter. And I'm going to read a few scriptures. To get an understanding, amen. Colossians, the first chapter, starting at verse 1. And it reads, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. We just finished this three message series dealing with faithlessness versus faithfulness. So that's what I thought about when I read verse 2, says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. I'm pausing for effect right there. Says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, so if we're Christians, so-called, says, and the love which ye have to all saints. If anybody ever been in church and they heard somebody in church look at somebody and say, I can't stand her. I can't stand him. How in the world can someone be a Christian in church saying that they can't stand somebody? That's just funny to me. Said, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before us, in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. So we're supposed to be producing fruit if we're of the tree of life. If we're of the family tree of God our Father, we're supposed to be reproducing more trees of this family of God. So if we're a Christian tree, our fruit should be of love, of joy, of peace, of self-control. Everything that makes us up as sons and daughters of God, that's the type of fruit we should be producing. Verse 7 says, as ye also learn of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Is that word faithful again? Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. So that's the key right there. If you're not walking in the Spirit of God, it's impossible for you to love someone unconditionally. Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Because there are different types of love. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So he's saying, this is my prayer for you, that you have the knowledge of God with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. There's a difference of natural understanding and spiritual understanding. In Proverbs 3, it says, lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him. That's where we get spiritual understanding from. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. That's shouting ground right there. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Verse 14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, thank you, Jesus, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image, this is a key verse right here. Remember, the title is The Invisible Things of God. Verse 15 says, Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things, say all things, were created by him and for him. The last verse, verse 17, says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So I want to talk about the invisible things. And it was talking about Jesus. Jesus being the image of the invisible God. Says the person we know now as Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, existed as an equal member of the Godhead from all eternity. Remember, the Godhead is the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Says Jesus existed as an equal member of the Godhead from all eternity. Before he became God's Son, speaking of sonship, referring to humanity, not to deity, he was a spirit being and carried out the divine plan of creation. He was the direct agent of God the Father, who created all things by him. See, this proves that the heavens and the things in them are just as material as those on earth. So everything in heaven, everything in the spiritual world is just as real as here on earth, as the physical world. Invisible things are made up of material substance, which is visible in its own realm. See, we can only see what we see because it's in the natural realm, and we're seeing it through our natural eyes. But that which is in the spiritual realm can only be seen spiritual eyes. You must be in the same realm in order for you to see the things that are existing in that particular realm. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Created things, including spirit beings, as angels, cherubim, seraphims, are all of material substance. Meaning that they're all real. It's not a figment of our imagination. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Substance is something real. Evidence is something real. Some substances are of higher type than others, though all are visible in their own realms. Some may not be visible to others of lower realms. Spirit beings are of a higher substance than flesh and blood beings and ordinary material than we see. They are not limited to ordinary substances as we know it, for they can go through closed doors, walls, and other material objects proved by what is recorded in scripture of angels and others. Even the material, spiritual, or immortalized body of Christ, a real flesh and bone body, can go through material walls without an opening. Remember a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned Jesus showing up after the resurrection, after he had rose from the grave. And the disciples were gathered, said they were gathered into one place. And all of a sudden, Jesus appeared unto them because the doors were shut, it said. So all of a sudden, Jesus appeared to them. And when it happened, he had to calm them by saying, "Peace be unto you." because it startled them. It scared them. So that's what this is referring to when it talks about Jesus being spiritual and having an immortalized body. He was real because once he was there, he told them, touch the holes in my hands. Touch the hole in my side. Glory to God. To prove to them that he was real. The invisible things of God. Let's go to St. John, the fourth chapter. St. John, fourth chapter. We're going to read verse 24. St. John 4 and verse 24. And it reads, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God is a spirit. Remember the previous teaching. It said, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Because it says here that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So he's not the sun or the moon or the stars, nor an image of wood or stone or metal, and not a beast or a man. He is not the air or the wind or the universal mind, love, or some impersonal quality. He is a person with a personal spirit body, a personal soul, and a personal spirit, like that of angels, and like that of man, except his body is a spirit substance instead of flesh and bones. So, understanding that the word personal, when it says he is a person, it doesn't mean that he's a natural being. Because when we think about the Godhead, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, all of them are persons. God the Father is a person. God the Son, Jesus, is a person. And God the Holy Spirit is a person. Jesus said, when I go to the Father, I will send the Comforter. Who is Holy Spirit. And he said, and he being a person. So it says that God is a spirit being. But though he's a spirit being, he's a person who has a spirit body, a personal soul, and a personal spirit, like that of angels and like that of man, except his body is of spirit substance instead of flesh and bone. Now let's go to Psalms, the 8th chapter. Psalm 8. The invisible things of God. Psalm 8, and we're going to start at verse 3. It says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Talking about a man, a human being. Says all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. So it's talking about this created being called mankind, called a human being. Says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Now, when we look at this word angels here in this text, the root word is Elohim. And this is the only place where the word angels, and it's plural. Angels, said, made them a little lower than the angels, plural. So this word angels is Elohim, which means deity or Godhead, which is the Trinity. So you made this human being a little lower than you, God. And where's the proof? Genesis first chapter. When God is having a conversation with the deity, with Jesus and Holy Spirit, said, let us, Elohim, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, just like us. That's who we are, people. We are just like God, made in his image, after his likeness. Invisible means not visible, unseen, not in sight. Conceal, but it does not mean not present or not available or does not exist. One of the names of God is Jehovah Shammah. Means that the Lord is there wherever you are. God is there. He's omnipresent, ever present, always, wherever you need him to be. Let's go to Proverbs, the 25th chapter. Proverbs 25. The invisible things of God. Proverbs 25, verses 2 and 3. And it reads, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. The heaven for height and the earth for depth, and the heart of kings is unsearchable. Now, listen to what this is saying. We cannot figure out the height of heaven. We cannot figure out how deep the earth is. And we cannot figure out the heart of a king. We don't know those things. It's impossible for us to know how high heaven is. It's impossible for us to know how deep the earth is. It's impossible for us to know somebody's heart, the heart of a king. It's unsearchable. But in verse 2 it says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing. So whatever God conceals, whatever he hides, it says, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. So even though God hides it, still gives us the ability to search it out. So it's not hidden from us, but it's hidden for us. It's hidden so we can search it out. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, 4th chapter. We're going to read verse 1. 1 Corinthians 4 and 1. And it reads, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. The mysteries of God. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, verses 1 and 2. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I have become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, as though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Mysteries. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 14 chapter and verse 2. And it reads, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Mysteries. What's a mystery? A mystery is a religious truth that one can know only by revelation and cannot fully understand. A mystery is profound, inexplicable, or secretive quality or character. That's what mystery is, a profound, inexplicable, or secretive quality or character. Now let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29. 29 and 29. And it reads, The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So the secret things are for us to search out. Now let's go to Revelation 22, verses 6 and 7. Revelation 22, and it says, and he said unto me, these things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. So the invisible things are for us to search out so that we may be able to live all the works of the law in the Bible. The invisible things of God. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your revelation. Thank you for understanding. And thank you for revealing to us the invisible things of you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Talk to you next week. Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Woodard.